Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Rangers Review morning briefing for Wednesday, the 17th of April. It's game day. At long last, we're going up to Dundee. Fingers crossed there isn't a monsoon or anything up there, or climate change wreaks havoc. But I'm joined to look ahead to the game against Dundee. I'm joined by Chris Jack before he heads up there for the 800th time this season. How's it going, Chris?
How many Dundee match previews have we done this season? Dundee have been mentioned more often on the Rangers Review than any other football club outside Rangers over the last few weeks. Hopefully this is the last one for a couple of weeks at least. Obviously, got another post-split game to come. Thankfully, that one's not at Dench Park. I think as we said on the member show after the press out yesterday, it's just must win for Rangers tonight. There's no excuses. There's no second chances. It's 3 points back down the road. Hopefully give everyone a bit of a spring in their step, because I think we could all be doing with it heading into Hampden the weekend. And say fingers crossed that's how it's gonna unfold. But as long as we get the game on, I don't foresee any late issues. So fingers crossed that particular obstacle has been overcome, and the biggest obstacle is then beating Dundee and getting, I say, a huge win on the board.
Not going to lie, I'm worried about tonight. I hope they are unfounded concerns and Rangers go on and wipe the floor with Dundee. Before we talk about the game, just a quick word for our podcast sponsors, MPH Boilers. You know the drill by now, folks. If you're looking for a new boiler, if it's preying on your mind, then give these guys a call. They've got some brilliant Viessmann boilers on offer at this moment in time. They've got flexible finance options. First year service is absolutely free. They throw in a free internet controller as well. The all-important links are in the description below. Right, of course, it was press conference day yesterday. As you said, Chris, we were on the press conference reaction video for those of you that are members on the YouTube channel yesterday. We discussed the big talking points from Philip Clement and Jack Butland speaking to us all. The big news on the injury front, Clement said that Ridvan and Mohamed Diamandé will not make the game, and Leon Balogun has been sick for the last few days. Whether he makes it also remains to be seen. With that in mind, I know that you and Joshua have predicted your team lineups. It's on the website just now. You can go and check it out. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to fire up. I believe this is yours, Chris, and we'll talk through your predicted team for this evening. You've gone for Butland in goal, of course, Tavernier, Suter, Balogun partnership with Sterling on the left in place of Borna Barisic, a midfield duo of Tom Lawrence and John Lundstrom, Todd Cantwell in front of those, Ross McCausland coming back in on the right, Rabi Matondo on the left, and no Cyril Dessers with Abdallah Sima trusted to lead the line. Explain your lineup, Chris.
That's Scunnered with Sunday. I am ringing the changes. I'm not giving people a chance to redeem themselves. It's the ruthless streak that you've come to expect. I think the side or the selection for tonight is really interesting for a number of reasons, because the side that I would like to see is probably different from the one that I think will start, the Balogun news yesterday. It really just depends how he's feeling and how he's been feeling the last couple of days. Ridvan is a big blow. Not having him at left back, I think is a big blow. It forces Sterling to go in there, because Barisic was that bad once again on Sunday. I don't see how we can start with him again. So I think that I wouldn't be surprised if the manager sticks with a number of the players. But I think it's almost a case of nothing venture, nothing gained at this stage. The team's not been in good form for a couple of weeks. Individuals have not been in good form for a couple of weeks. Also, Diomandé being out causes an issue in the middle of the pitch. So do you then have Lawrence? Do you go for Raskin? Going for Lawrence, because I think he's slightly more creative than Raskin. And the last couple of times that Raskin's been given a chance, he's not exactly grabbed it. I think Motherwell and St Mirren away spring to mind. And in that regard, it's just been a stop-start campaign for Nico Raskin. At times, he's never actually got it started. So there's a lot of players who are not in the best of form. There's a lot of players who need to stand up and deliver. And ultimately, no matter what 11 takes the pitch tonight, again, I think as we discussed on the members yesterday, it's 3 points for Rangers. Yes, a performance would be great. Yes, a statement of intent, a good 3-0 or so would be great. But there's no point in playing well and individuals playing well, the team looking a bit more cohesive, if you don't then get 3 points. It's all about the result tonight. They just have to find a way to do it. And I say, no matter what 11 takes to the field, Rangers just need to cut that gap, to try and repair some of the damage of the weekend and to try and get the fans back on side, because, as I said at the start, I think everyone's feeling a bit down in the dumps, a bit sorry for themselves right now.
Yep. Let's get to some of the comments just on your team, Chris. Varying opinions. Doug says, nailed it with the selection, Chris. And Jim McCarroll says, good morning, folks. Think PC will more or less persevere with Sunday's team. Sadly, Bill Story, we always like a bit of comedy on the show in the morning. Big Leon sick after watching that back four on Sunday while sitting on the bench. James Skeen says, I like the look of that side. It remains to be seen if Leon is well enough to feature in the team. I've got a feeling the manager will go with... does he go with the same back four? I think the only one, if Leon's not well enough, will be Borna dropping out. But then who comes in? Dujon Sterling, of course, came on in place of him off the bench on Sunday. I would like to see Dujon in the middle of the park, I've got to be honest. Surely we've got another player that can fill in over in that left-back position in the squad. I said a couple of shows now that even when some of the younger boys, see if anyone can step up just to accommodate Dujon in the centre of the park. Let's get Joshua's team up now. So there's a few deviations from yours, Chris. He's gone with a back four with Dujon in there, Goldson and Suter, the partnership. Nico Raskin to partner John Lundstrom in the middle of the park. He's also gone for McCausland on the right, Seema on the left, and he's gone for Silva up top. Raskin's an interesting one. I know the manager, we touched on it, he did speak about him recently and how he's had a lot of competition in the position that he's looking to acquire. He's simply not doing enough to impress the manager, Chris, at this point in time. I think we've seen that with the team selection on Sunday, with Kieran Dill coming in and starting the game. Interestingly, that you or Joshua don't have Dill in that starting 11. Would you be surprised to see Raskin start?
Not completely surprised. Not shocked and stunned if Raskin's name there. I just have this fear that he's never really got going this season. It's can you pitch him into a game of this significance, a game where there's so much pressure on Rangers, and he's not really performed. He's someone who I think he's up there with being one of the disappointments of the campaign, because he came in last January, looked good, looked the part, looked good value for money, looked the type of guy who there's going to be improvement in, potentially even a decent profit in. And this season, it's just not going to plan for him. I think he does still have a lot to offer the squad. I think he's almost become one of these forgotten guys. I think there was a game at Ibrox a couple of years ago. I can't remember off the top of my head what one it was now. And he didn't get named in the side. Might even be in the Celtic game, actually. And nobody mentioned him pre-match, or why is he not there? He didn't come up in the post-match show. Nobody's like, oh, where's Raskin? He could have done a job. I think that probably tells you the fact that he's just fallen out the picture that much. Dowell, as you say, comes in last Sunday. I thought he was good when he came off the bench against Celtic. Didn't really take his chance last Sunday. Lundstrom, I know that there's a lot of comments once again this morning on Lundstrom about how he looks a bit leggy and a bit slow and a bit tired. Ultimately, he's still one of the guys that the manager is going to turn to. And when you do have, like, so Ryan Jack being out, if Jack had been fit, Lundstrom perhaps then gets a rest. Jack's obviously not fit. Dill, we don't know how robust he can be. Raskin out of form. Diomandi's also out with this hand injury at present. So it's causing issues. And the big issue, or one of the big issues, is Yilmaz not being available. Because for me, that takes Sterling out of the equation. Barisic just hasn't been at it the last couple of weeks, or for the last couple of months even. So you're then looking at Sterling going in at left back, which I say again, a number of comments this morning do see people saying put Sterling in the middle of the pitch. If Ridvan had been fit, he starts at left back and Sterling goes into midfield every day of the week, especially considering it's not going to be a classic tonight. It's not going to be a surface conducive to getting the ball down and playing a, an attacking, free-flowing style of football, it's going to be a bit of a battle. Sterling, with his energy and his legs and his robustness, you would like him in the middle of the pitch, but I think you can get away with having Lundstrom alongside a Raskin or a Lawrence, and then having Sterling at left back. And interesting that Josh is going for that option as well.
Yep, let's get to a few of the comments that are coming in just on that team. King Charles Spaniel says, I wouldn't be surprised if the manager starts Scott Wright. And sure, Balmer certainly doesn't want Bourne in that team, says Barisic should be nowhere near the squad, never mind the team. A few other interesting points of note. Alan McConnell agrees with that team. He says, that looks like the best team, except I would drop Goldson and bring in Balogun. Denzel with a point. I know that both of you don't have serial deaths in your starting 11s. He says, on the prospect of Silva up top, playing with Silva up front is like having a false nine. Nothing wrong with that, but we should call it for what it is. I would have, of the two, Chris, I would go with you. I would start Abdallah Sima through the middle. I've just not seen enough from Fabio Silva. I've got to say, he had a good game over in Portugal against Benfica. Has showed in flashes his quality, but we just haven't seen it enough. Thought he had a poor game on Sunday. I'm not too sure if... I know he's been played out on the left-hand side. I'm not too sure if that's even his best position. I know he'd like to play in sort of the forward area, but he's just got no killer instinct for me in front of goal, pretty much like Sergio Dessers as well. That's why I would like to see Sima up top. Do you think we will see that, or will the manager stick with Serial to lead the line?
Again, I think this is what makes it such a difficult one to predict and such an interesting one to actually analyse and assess later on. On the website, we've also got our team and a justification for it and some words on our two selections. And I do say in that piece, it would be no surprise to me at all if the manager sticks roughly with what we had at the weekend and we see Silva start and we see Dessers start. But Dessers just misses, as we've said this week, this month, this year. He just misses too many chances. And again, I see people saying, why can't Roof start? Best finisher out of the three of them. But if you start games, you know he's not going to finish games. If you start, how long can you actually get out of them? I'd be surprised if Roof is the one that starts. I went for Sima, just to give Rangers a bit more pace. I think if you've got him through the middle, you've got Matondo on one side, McCaws on the other side. There's a lot of directness in there. There's a lot of pace in there. Go and try and take the game to Dundee early on. Go and ask as many questions as possible of Dundee early on. Because if you allow them to settle into a rhythm, you allow them to disrupt your rhythm, the away crowd, they'll travel in huge numbers once again. They will support the team, but if the first 20 minutes doesn't go well, that can turn. You don't want to give Dundee any encouragement at all, because Ross County showed at the weekend what happens when, yes, a lesser opposition, but if you give them encouragement and you give them a foothold in the game, it shows how quickly that game quickly got away from Rangers. As soon as it went to 1-0, they made the mistake, they allowed County to take the lead, and it's a long, long way back from there. Rangers can't afford to be losing the first goal tonight and giving Dundee a foothold, giving them something to hold on to and drop deep and then try and defend. It's all about Rangers being positive, being proactive, taking the game to them. I say they don't go and have to go and win 5-0 like they did the last time. One will do, but it's, I say Rangers, they just have to find a way to win. But I think there's going to be people really looking at individual and collective performances tonight as well.
Yeah, we need a big performance. The manager was asked if players are at risk of being dropped after Sunday's display. This is what he had to say. He said that at risk is such a negative word. Of course, I can change things. It's always looking at what is the best team for the moment and also with the games to come. That's something that the fans do not always understand, because they are always want to play with the best at the moment. If you play with the best, who comes out of injury and plays three games in a row? You know, the second game you get less, and the last game you don't get anything anymore at one moment. We need to take into account all of those things and the physical ability of the players. That has been the most difficult thing in the last couple of months, that we had so many players out and are now coming back out of injury. You see players coming back out of injury that the first time it is really good, second time it can be a little bit less because they are less fresh and they need to find this rhythm again. That takes time. Also, we need to take all of these things into account every time, pick the best starting team and also the players coming in with freshness to win games. So that is what the manager had to say with regards to potential changes this evening. A few points of note. To Ian Edwards raises an interesting one. Is Davis an option at left back? That lets us move Sterling into midfield. Talking about Raskin being the forgotten man, Chris, Ben Davis is certainly in that same area at this moment in time. I'm not discussing him. He's not been in the squad, has he? When was the last time he was in the match day squad? I don't think he's featured since the winter break, if I'm not mistaken.
On the squad front, I can't actually recall off the top of my head. I'll try and check it. But it's been a long time since he's been on the pitch, and as you say, just become one of the forgotten guys. I think it's safe to say the manager doesn't see a place for him, doesn't rate him. I know there's a lot of talk about Davies in the January window potentially moving on. It's looking like he's definitely going to be one the manager will look to shift in the summer. If he's not going to get in the matchday squad at present, it's hard to see how he's got a long term future. And you think of the fee that's been spent on him on decent wages by all accounts. That money can be utilised better. I think we both said last week there will be work done defensively in terms of the transfer window. There will be ins and outs, and there's a lot of talk about Goldson and his place in the squad. But even if Goldson stays round about that, there's a lot of work needs done. Say Davies, I think, moves on. Leon King moves on. Balogun, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves on at the end of his contract. So there's going to be a lot of work. There's going to have to be money spent. And if you look at what is going out the door in terms of what you're then getting on the pitch, the equation just doesn't work for Ben Davies. Not enough minutes, not enough of a contribution. And overall, I don't think it's been a great Rangers career. He's had some good moments.
But thanks for Betis, and that's it.
Basically, thanks for Betis, and thanks for taking the odd corner. And apart from that, there's just not been enough there overall from Ben Davies. Nice guy, but for me, not a Rangers centre half.
Yep, thanks to a number of you who have got in touch, Reddy, Teddy Bear and others. Davis was on the bench for the Motherwell game, an unused sub, so thank you for that. Homer says it's going to be an ugly game of football, 3 points and up the road or even down the road, of course. And Lewis is feeling optimistic ahead of two huge games. He says, if we get the win tonight and get in the final of the Scottish Cup on Sunday, that could galvanise the team to have a great finish to the season. It would be, I want to see not only a result, I don't want to see Rangers scrape by tonight, Chris. I want to see them putting two or three past Dundee with relative ease. I worry that won't be the case. Sunday is a massive game as well. The Hearts will fancy their chances at Hampden against Rangers. They're going well under Stephen Naismith. But if Rangers can get past these two hurdles, sets them up, get that final week of the season to look forward to, when the manager did say that Oscar Cortez and Danilo would be back. Whether they feature or not remains to be seen, but it's a match to look forward to, and then can fully focus on the league and five fixtures to come. Those fixtures were announced yesterday. We were expecting them after the Dundee game, but they were announced yesterday. Rangers kicking off with a trip to Paisley on the 28th of April on the Sunday. The following Sunday, hosting Kilmarnock before the final Old Firm match of the season. It's scheduled in for Saturday, the 11th of May. Rangers then host Dundee Ibrox on the Tuesday before rounding off the campaign away to Hearts at Tynecastle on the 18th of May. So that is it, the post-split fixtures. But how big a week could this be, Chris, and perhaps just galvanising Rangers to go on and having a successful end to the league campaign?
It's about trying to build a bit of momentum once again. It felt for so long in the campaign that the momentum was with Rangers, that the feel-good factor was with Rangers. We all we talked up their potential title chances without getting too far ahead of ourselves and without saying that we would go on and win the league. I think that's what made Sunday so deflating and so disappointing, because they've done so much hard work to haul themselves back into this position. Now, you think back to when the manager came in, I think he referenced that in his interview with the Daily Paper Boys yesterday, about he saw them when he came in and they were on the floor. To go from those days and everyone not just writing off the Premiership, but almost writing off the entire season. Nobody thought we were going to win either of the Cups. The European campaign ended in a frustrating manner, but ultimately Rangers did what they had to do, a great result in Betis and the qualifiers from the group. None of that looked possible during the final weeks of Michael Beale. So they have done so much good. They've done so much hard work to get themselves into this position. But that's why it would be so frustrating, disappointing. It would make people angry if it was thrown away over these next couple of weeks, and if the whole season ended with a whimper. I think the way the balance of power or the feel-good factor has shifted over the last 10 days or so shows just how quickly it can alter. Rangers went into the Old Firm game thinking a win and a good performance, and what a statement of intent that is, and that puts us in a really strong position. Old Firm game doesn't go to plan. Celtic pick up their points, we don't pick up ours at Ross County, and all of a sudden it's must win at Dundee on a game that should have been played a long time ago. It's now must win, pressure's on because the gap has been allowed to extend a wee bit. So if Rangers can win tonight, if they can win on Sunday, it does put a bit of feel-good factor back in to the crowd and to the support again. The manager said yesterday, if you let one result impact you in a wholly negative way, you're basically in the wrong place and Rangers isn't the club for you. I think it's important that the fans remember that as well, and there'll be demand mentality of players and managers. Fans have to have huge expectations, and rightly, but also have to have a view of the bigger picture as well. Season is not done, still a lot to play for, but there's only going to be a lot to play for if Rangers don't make the same mistakes that they have been making, and they go and do the business that they're expected to and that they should be. That starts tonight, sets us up for Sunday. And if that comes to pass, as you say, we're then heading into those final five games. Who knows? Anything is possible. An Old Firm win at Parkhead would then flip the situation once again. Now we can debate whether that's likely, whether it's possible, whether we think this team will be able to achieve it or not. But these things are there. It's football. Anything can happen. So it's important that we don't write off everything just on the back of Sunday. But as almost every comment I've had on the show this morning says, tonight is a must win. Anything other than that, and it becomes a difficult job, becomes an almost impossible one for Rangers.
Yeah, they're all must win from here on in. And interesting point from Damien. He says, do you think Dundee will go for it a bit more, knowing we are struggling at the back and them already securing top six, so nothing to lose? Yeah, I think they're dangerous tonight, not to mention the fact that the condition of the pitch has been plastered over the news for the last few weeks, so they'll be feeling a bit aggrieved about that, I'd imagine. They want to go on and put on a bit of a show. Tony Docherty's got them well drilled. They've got some decent players in their team. They are dangerous tonight, and hopefully Rangers can put in a better showing than we witnessed against Ross County. A similar display and you can forget it. I think Dundee can get a positive result tonight against Rangers. This was an interesting point from Colin. He says, if we win the two Cups but miss out on the league, would that be a successful season? I think context is key here, Chris. If Rangers were to end the season with the two domestic cups, it would be nice. We all want the league, of course. Every season that Rangers start the campaign, the league is the priority. However, where Rangers were to the point they are now, I think losing out in the league would be bitterly disappointing. But you sense that with another transfer window, with Clermont having that team with a pre-season behind them and then taking the team from the off, then I think next year Rangers would be, if they lose out in the league next year, I think it would be more of a bitter blow than losing out this year. If he acquires the two cups, then that is progress, slight progress, of course, but it is progress to where Rangers were when he took over.
I think two cup wins would be a successful season for the manager, but would not be a successful season for Rangers. If that makes sense. I think from where Clermont came in and the situation that he inherited, to take this squad, which is still not really fit for purpose in a number of areas. I think if you could take this squad to two domestic cups combined with what he managed to achieve in Europe, I think there's enough to say he himself has had a good season. Rangers have to be winning league titles, though. Rangers set out every season. It's a two-horse race. You have to win that particular race. Now, I think the gap, as it stands, is also a lot smaller than it was when he came in. If Rangers were to miss out by a point and a couple of points, you can say, well, over the Clement tenure, he has outperformed Celtic and Brendan Rodgers. That's all fine. But Rangers ultimately haven't outperformed Celtic and Brendan Rodgers, and that's what has to happen every season at Rangers. You have to win the league title. And you think you look at the financial ramifications of it in terms of the Champions League situation and how that's going to shift over the next couple of seasons, given the coefficient situation, how that's deteriorated over the last couple of weeks and last couple of seasons as well, through no fault of Rangers, and certainly not as a result of Rangers' efforts in European competitions, but that has happened, unfortunately. It makes this season's Champions League money so much more important. It becomes, every season when you miss out on that, it becomes more and more difficult to bridge that gap. You're then going back to investors to fill the financial gaps. You're having to sell players that you might not want to sell to try and fund the rebuild elsewhere. So there's a lot of financial reasons, many millions of financial reasons, why it's important for Rangers to be winning the league this season. But the most important reason of all is it's what the club's built on. That's what everyone accepts. That's what everyone demands. So I think if the two cups were won, so I think it's a good season for the manager, and it gives us optimism, as you outlined there, Derek, with the right players coming in, proper pre-season. It would be something for him to build on. It would be something for the fans to take from a season that in October we had all but written off and we had canned. But ultimately, any season where Rangers don't win the title can't be classed as a successful one.
Yep. Huge thanks to John Batchelor, who's donated to the channel. Thank you very much, John. That's very kind of you to do just that. And World's Greatest DJ says, get Chris in that changing room for a motivational pre-match speech. So there you go. Colin with a point. Derek, does any other league have a split? Switzerland, off the top of my head, has the split in the league, I'm sure, Colin. Just trying to think if there's any others. Belgium has one as well.
The manager's referenced that a couple of times. He told a story a couple of weeks ago. I can't remember which one of his title wins it was, but how they had like a huge gap, like 20 points or so, heading into the like post-split fixtures. And it's a weird thing that you lose like some of your, you know, like half your points. So he went from like a 20 point lead down to a 10 point lead. I can't remember the exact story that he told, but it was something along those lines. So Scotland is not alone in that. I think going by what I've seen of the Belgian one and the Swiss one, ours is actually one of the more straightforward ones. And I know the people may decry it and perhaps don't like it. I think it does add something to this stage of the season, because you know you are playing the best five sides in the division over the next couple of weeks. And at the other end of the table, it certainly makes the battle against relegation interesting as well. I think Livingston are probably gone and down and away, but the battle to avoid that 11th place is certainly interesting. Unfortunately, Rangers gave Ross County a helping hand in that regard at the weekend.
Yeah, Stephen's not a big fan. He says split is a joke. I think it was on it with Ali, one of the Q&As we did over on the members channel, I'm sure. And he came up with something interesting. He said, why don't they split after the two rounds of fixtures? Because, of course, there is often as odd games in terms of playing teams at home and away when the split eventually happens. I thought that was pretty interesting. If they split after two rounds of games, I'm not too sure how feasible that is or whether that would happen in the future. But people that are some are for, some are against, and it is what it is. That's what, as I mentioned, the split fixtures will take place 28th of April. Is when we kick things off, when we go to St Mirren. And right, that'll do us there, folks. Chris is heading up to Dens Park a little bit later on. We'll have all the usual pre-match and post-match content to come your way. Joshua is also on tonight. So we'll all be on. So I hope you can join us a little later on. We'll have the pre-match reaction to the teams when they drop. I wonder if there will be many changes from Sunday's debacle up in Dingwall. You can read Joshua's and Chris's teams in more detail over on the website. And of course, we've got those two brilliant offers on just now. Launched it yesterday. You can take a 6-month for a subscription for just £1 or an entire year's worth for £18. And if once you subscribe, you get entered into a draw to win a signed Rangers jersey. It's the old one from the 90s with the Adidas Adidas name on the collar, the Gazza shirt, pretty much from that successful era. And it's Gazza's and McCoist who have signed it as well. So head over to rangersreview.co.uk/subscribe to sign up. Existing subscribers are also entered into the draw as well to win that signed jersey. So yeah, cracking prize on offer. Right, that'll do us there. Huge thanks to you all for taking the time out your day to watch the show, and we'll speak to you a little later on. Bye for now.